Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Dillard and
Libs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Lucas, go play in traffic. Seriously.
No, playing this game.
From me to you, go play in very high-speed traffic.
Not over yet.
No, and Lucas, I just want to say nice job. Yeah, putting aside any fanboy thing, because your job, when you bring us back with rejoins, is to tell the story of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and he didn't do it, but HN probably should have hit him with the night-night at about the 20-yard line, because you've told the story of the game. The Brock Purdy interception, the Devon HN night-night.
His name's
you're
Devon.
Doing a good job in there.
His name's Devon. And
you can correct me as a way to divert from what I'm saying.
You're completely missing what we're talking
about. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Dave.
Look me in the eye. You're completely missing what we're talking about.
And that's fine. What are we talking about?
That's the play that ruined our fantasy game.
Oh.
He did not play that to tell the story of the 49er game. He played
Why'd you play that, Lucas?
To rub my nose in it, and I accept that.
Play what?
Yes, exactly.
First and 10, another big run. There he goes. He's got wide open space.
Wide open spaces.
With an A-plus effort and a touchdown.
Yes. Hey, Devon, learn the game and get down. But anyway, quick story, if I may.
Yeah,
it's actually pretty funny.
Actually, that's a time where you don't get down because it puts you up 12.
I understand.
So.
I understand. But, up 12 with time on the clock, or how about up five with no time on the clock? Anyway, soon as Brock threw the interception.
Real quick, you and I playing in the fantasy semifinal.
Fantasy semifinals, and it's literally dead heat. It's deadlocked. He's got CeeDee Lamb at night. I've got the Tampa kicker and the Packer D tonight. We are locked in what was, Lucas, that was a journey yesterday.
Yeah, there was a lot going
on. That was a up and down ride, brother. It was one of those. And especially since, right, we work so closely together every single day. It was fun. It was a ride. But it's dead heated, and Brock throws the pick. And lovely Christy is at the house, and I go, all right, game over. I got to take you home because I got to get back to my house to do the Fox show at night. So we get in the car, and it's a very short drive over to her house, and I do what every single red-blooded American is supposed to do at a stoplight, which is look at your phone. And 2 minutes later, I get to the stoplight, and I look at my phone where the notifications come up about the fantasy games, and I'm like, oh, hun, something awful has happened. Those were literally my words. Something awful has happened, and I didn't even know what. I had no idea that it wasn't just that. It was also my favorite team getting their noses rubbed in it.
Mm.
Lucas, congrats. It'll be a moment I remember forever.
Not over yet. You still have the Packers defense down 30.
Yeah. They're
gonna... J.R. Alexander will not be a part of that Packers defense tonight.
That's too bad.
Just got that
news. What I need is like some sleep. I need some Green Bay stuff to happen tonight. You know what I'm saying? I need some December snow. I need a Christmas song to show up at Lambeau Field tonight.
Well, let me just praise you for another reason then, Lucas, and thank you for playing that to tell the story of what actually brought me joy yesterday,
which was
Mark Willard getting knocked out. The champ is dead.
You're so welcome, Dibs.
Thank you.
He's not dead. He on life support. And even if he's dead, I'll still get to play for some money next week.
Yeah, so, and that's... Going.
Anyway.
21 degrees in Green Bay, 15% chance of snow.
Perfect. And somebody who's not a football player starting at quarterback for the Saints, is that what I hear?
I don't even know
who the hell's playing quarterback.
Kendrick Miller, though. Good running back.
Spencer Rattler, right?
Okay.
The Rat Man.
The Rat.
Who knows?
And the pick is in for Fade the Dibber. And yeah, darn it.
What's the number?
I picked the Niners again, and it's 14.5.
Oh, God. Is it really?
That's what I saw. Yeah.
That's a big number in the NFL.
Big old number.
And I'm coming off a 14.5.
Disastrous week for your boy against the spread.
That was a tough one.
I had a rough week. Rough week. I mean, I missed almost all of them. I missed the Niner game for sure.
Yeah, well, if you miss them all, then that's good.
I think 4-10-1 is where I sit for the week.
Oof.
Not good.
Oof.
That ain't good.
Yeah. I've been begging you to stop picking the 49ers, but you kept doing it.
Yeah, and you could blame me for this one, but
I do.
Again, this one's not on me.
They all
are. It's on your guy.
Who my guy?
Number 13.
Oh, God.
With another
you don't even
reckless
think that.
Throw.
Yeah. Nick and Clayton. Hi, Nick. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. Sorry about your rough losing weekends. I feel you as well, but that's no fun. That's a big ball humbug.
It happens, man. It happens.
But anyway, you know, kind of getting to what Jaime was saying in the last segment, I fully agree with him. And I could make a reasonable argument that, you know, with a relatively decent first-round pick, and if there is a quarterback in there that you really, really like that you think is Mahomesian or whatever, that you try and just press the reset button with something like that and you get rid of Brock. But I have to say, if they do decide to do something like that, it could make sense and it could work out. That is such a huge gamble. Everyone would be fired if that doesn't actually happen and if it doesn't actually work out. And I just don't understand why anyone would even want to see them go down that road. I know the lottery is really high right now, like at over $900 million.
Yep, bought my tickets today.
Down for that.
Yep.
But I mean, unless you're feeling like that and you're feeling really good that way, it just makes no sense at all.
You know what's funny, Nick, is what you just laid out. They already did it. They already did that once, and they ended up with Trey Lance. And it is only because of the presence of Brock Purdy that people aren't already calling for the group to get fired because of what they did the last time they tried that.
You got it.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you want to just play this game, let's go down the rabbit hole real quick, and you want to just say goodbye to Brock, you don't have to because he's under contract, so you draft a rookie and you let him slug it out, and then the rookie beats him out. So Brock's your backup for $1 million. What kind of a rookie quarterback goes out and makes the playoffs and wins in the playoffs? Well, last year, C.J. Stroud, top 3 pick. Jaden Daniels this year looks like he's going to be a rookie quarterback to make the playoffs, top 3 pick. You're not going to have a top 3 quarterback, so you're going to be getting the third or fourth best quarterback in a weak quarterback draft class, and that means you're going to say no thank you to an offensive tackle or a defensive tackle or an edge rusher or all of the above, and you're going to roll your dice on a quarterback in a weak quarterback class. I'm out.
Yeah, exactly. You're not just using your first round pick on that. In order to get up to where you need to get up to, you're giving up your second, your third, next year's
don't,
first.
Don't.
Like
don't.
That's what we're doing.
Let's not do this again.
So all I'm saying is
we're not doing this again, Mark.
I'm not going to be mad at you if you don't like Brock, but good Lord, I think it's fair if we ask you to come up with your solution. What is your solution? Okay. No 50 a year for Brock. You got it. You win. And?
Right.
Would you like to play next year? Who's your guy?
Yeah.
Who is it? And I'm not saying this sarcastically. I mean it.
Yeah, literally, what's your plan? Who is your guy? Exactly.
What's your plan? Barry in Burlingame. Hey, Barry, thanks for calling.
Hey, happy holidays.
Yeah, man, you too.
So there was a play. I didn't see it live, but there was a play that I saw on, I think it was on X. In the fourth quarter up in Seattle, Darnold was about to get absolutely blasted by a pass rusher, and his feet were not set. Threw a ball. It looked like it was about 50 yards in the air for a touchdown. They win the game. And until I heard you guys talking about how unfeasible or it would be or infeasible to make a play for Darnold, it dawned on me that the very same kind of play that ruined Brock's game yesterday, he played well. He really did play well. Was Calais Campbell unloading on him through the ball without having his feet set, blah, blah, blah. We know what happened. So you asked for a solution, Mark.
Yeah.
What is keeping the 49ers from tagging Brock, then pursuing Darnold to come in and compete for the job? You earlier said he was going to get like 3 years and $100 million. I've heard some, you know, anonymous, you know, whoever they are, saying that they don't think that his market will be that crazy for two reasons. One, he's played in ideal conditions this year.
Yep.
Healthy, great offensive line, at least one all-pro offensive tackle, if not two. All his skill guys, a great coach. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Kind of the same conditions under which Brock had operated before. But again, financially, what would keep them from saying to Brock, we love you? Whatever the tag would pay him next year would still be.
You don't have to tag him because he's under contract for a mil.
Yeah, you can't even tag him next year. He's still under contract
for
1.1
million.
So if you did want to make Brock your backup, all you have to do is have a conversation. That's it. But
well, you don't even have to have that.
I mean, you would think.
Yeah.
Right, so, Barry, here would be my – and, Barry, thanks. We got to run. Yeah. I don't want to cut you off. It's a good call. But let's try to answer that. And my two immediate hesitations would be, again, A, that's going to cost a lot, probably three times the amount on your cap next year that Brock would. That certainly hamstrings the effort for other players, number one. And number two, I do believe that around the league, as free agents look at the team, and even the players who are already on your team, I think that you run the risk of them thinking that you're a clown show, which is that you've had a quarterback perform at an incredibly high level for you for 3 years, take you to a Super Bowl and two NFC title games, and then you would respond after a year of so much bad stuff.
Yeah, turmoil all around.
You would respond by kicking him to the bench, spending a bunch of money on the guy who was literally here last year, and I would argue, Kyle, even coming off of a torn UCL, Kyle Shanahan thought Brock Purdy off a torn UCL is still better than Sam Darnold because they're both here in my room, and I'm going to go with Brock.
And you're forgetting that Minnesota has a loud say in Sam's future. They can give him the franchise tag and pay him $56 million or whatever the number will be, and Sam gets to be a Vikings again next year.
I think the playoffs will determine how aggressive the Vikings are with Sam, for sure. But you're right. So those are the hesitations. We're sponsored by the all-new Honda of Vallejo, and let's keep talking this out. 888-957-9570 is the number. What is your hesitation on Brock? Or it can be the opposite as well. This is Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dispute that. Second and goal. Top. Touchdown. Touchdown it is. Seifert with the catch. His first touchdown of the season.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We're going to go back to the phones. I do want your answer on this, though.
Yeah.
Like, how did you process the way Debo played yesterday? And do you still feel like he's lost a step?
Well, lost a step is, it's a curious way to describe it because yesterday it sure didn't look like it.
Right.
He was running with force and violence, and even in the backfield, he had some really impactful runs, but Steiny kind of took the text I sent him out of context, but I'm glad he did because Debo can do it. He can still get out there and do it, but I don't know if he can do it week in and week out. And I sent Steiny that text about Steph Curry because Steph Curry can still be Steph Curry, the chef, the MVP, every now and again.
He was on Saturday.
He sure was on Saturday. And even though that one was quietly slipping away again.
Weird game.
That was a super weird game.
They went up by 21, and I'm like, they're going to blow that.
And we could talk about Ant-Man's comments for which he has been fined. And
a lot.
The other one where, like, did Pods get that tea or Kuminga? Because they were complaining about a fan who had spilled a beer on the court.
It was Pods.
And
it was Pods.
Pods gets a tea.
And he's like, why are we, what?
Like, I don't want to get too far off the subject, but I do think that there's a great disconnect right now between players and referees in the NBA.
For sure.
We need to figure out a way to fix it because I don't want to spend the rest of my career defending the refs, especially in a case like that where I mean, guys, can we figure out a way to make these things not happen? And, you know, Anthony talking about, it wasn't the woman, it was those other two guys. Was like, whoa, Ant.
Yeah, okay. we'll let you hear that in a little bit, because okay, it's super interesting. No,
it's all, topic,
hey, whatever. Go wherever you want to go. 888-957-9570. Look, I guess we don't really know any other way to boil this conversation down other than, do you want Brock Purdy to be your quarterback or not? And if the answer's no, like, I hope you understand, I'm not going to sit here, Dibs, you're not going to sit here and be like, you're not allowed to have that opinion. We can tell you, it doesn't look like the Niners are interested in that opinion, but that's fine. You can have that opinion. Where I'm trying to challenge people today is, okay, dot, 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 then what?
Right.
And I don't mean that means you should pay $50 or $60 million a year just because you're forced to. You know what I mean? It's like those couples who've been dating for 9 years. And it's like, well, I guess I'm supposed to propose.
Supposed to get married.
Ah,
yeah.
Crap. Everyone's telling me I should. So, okay, here, want a ring? Like, that's not fun. I know you want it to be romantic. But by the same token, I do think you got to try to take the emotion out of this number. This
right.
number that make is making so many people, not 50 or 60. Well, but most of the quarterbacks are. If they're good. If they're good quarterbacks, they are. And you're still allowed to think that he's not worth that. But then what? Because everything that I've heard people sort of bring up sort of sounds to me like you're just giving a middle finger to next year.
Right. If you want to go to a rookie, or if you want to sign a free agent, if you want to bring in Cousins or Darnold or, you know, Flacco or Jameis Winston, I mean, what are we doing? For me, it boils down to two things. One, the team wants Brock Purdy to still be quarterback. So the conversation for me isn't an if. It's a done deal. They're going to do this. And the other piece is, if you don't want him to be the quarterback of the Niners, then to your point, what do you want to do? Because if Brock Purdy is the 16th best quarterback in the NFL, he might be higher, he might be lower. Who knows what that number actually is? One of the top 15 is probably not available. So then you can roll the dice and find the next Jaden Daniels or CJ Stroud. And that's really, really risky when you have a team that is, maybe this year wasn't Super Bowl or bust, but going into next year, I don't even know if you can use that expression, but whatever expression you want to use, you've got an aging roster of guys who likely won't be around in 2026.
Oh, you have work to do. Absolutely. And then in less than 60 seconds, I really want to make this point. I said it on the crossover. I want to rebirth it. This is important to me. Please, can we stop treating the quarterbacks like superheroes? I don't want to hear again about, you need a quarterback who will carry you to the Super Bowl. Nobody does that. Mahomes is not doing that. I don't know if you watch the way they play. Patrick is not carrying. He has maybe in the past, if you want to say it that way. But the Chiefs have always been an incredibly well-rounded team. And now they're actually buoyed more by their defense than they are by their offense. And then the other three guys that everybody's so excited about, Lamar, Josh, and Joe, all collectively have the same number of Super Bowl appearances as Brock Purdy. So if you're going to talk about a quarterback throwing everybody on his back, elevating everyone around him, and taking them to the promised land, they haven't done it either. That's not the way football works. You have to have a good team, and then you go. And the quarterback is a large, I would argue, the biggest piece of that.
Right.
So you have to have a good one. And I think he's shown that he is. And this year they did not have a good team, the same way Joe Burrow doesn't. And therefore, you get a losing record.
That's right. And something that you said a week or two ago, and I want to make sure I have it right, but Jared Goff had a game where he threw 5 picks and won.
And they won.
He had a game where he threw 5 touchdowns and they lost.
And they lost.
So if we want to just look at that odd anomaly, that's bananas.
Carrying his team to what?
He threw 5 picks and they won.
Right.
And then he threw 5 touchdowns and they lost. So, yes, the quarterback is the most important player in all of pro sports, but you look at Brock this year, and Brock has not been as good individually, and the team around him has been worse. So if you look at the gap between Brock last year and Brock this year, the team last year to the team this year, the gap for the team is a lot bigger.
Agreed.
The team is far worse then Brock is worse than last year.
I don't think
that makes sense.
Yes, and I don't think he's been Kittle or Juwan, but I think that if you want to go person by person and go who have been the better 49ers this year, he's been one of the better 49ers this year.
Even if we ranked the offensive 11, like I would put Pooney ahead of him, and I would put Kittle and Juwan ahead of him, and that
maybe Mason when we saw him.
I was thinking Mason, but he's missed like five games now.
Like,
so.
I mean, Brock has not been bad. Not been good. He's been worse.
You can always say Juszczyk because he's going to the Pro Bowl again.
Yeah, because there's two of them.
Right.
And he's the best one.
He's going to go to his ninth Pro Bowl this year.
GPD and Hayward. Hi, GPD. We love talking to you. Happy holidays, brother.
Hey, happy holidays to you, brothers, with a plural. And just right before my phone call, this little two-minute piece that you guys just said, thumbs it all up. I almost don't even need to say anything because you're totally correct. These fans, the fanatics out there, have any of them done a scouting report? Have any of them ever drafted a free agent? Have any of them ever coached a football team? Everybody has their opinion, and you know what they say about opinions, right?
Everybody has them, and they all stink.
You know what I'm saying, brother?
Yep.
So, Brock Purdy showed you what he had for 3 years. He brought it. And why is it that you're criticizing the heck out of him when he has a bad year, when everybody's injured, he doesn't have the playmakers around him? Okay, I don't hear that about all the other quarterbacks when they're throwing five picks, right? And what about Jaden Daniels? Okay, yeah, he brought him back, but he still, look at him. Who are you going to get if you don't give it to Brock Purdy? And I'm tired of regurgitating Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins. Stop it. Man, look, I'm going to say this. You know what? I used to charge $65 a man hour 5 years ago. I'm a construction company. I own a construction company. That was our rate. The rate's $95 now. It's $95 an hour now because it's the market. We are professionals. We're licensed, just like the 49ers are professionals. Those guys know what they're doing. You guys call people calling here, these morons calling, talking all this verbiage for fodder, and they don't even know what they're talking about, bro. Leave it to the professionals. They will pay Brock. I've already said this. He will be back. He brought his offensive line all Toyotas.
Wow.
And they really didn't protect him that well, but he still did it, right? Because this is what they do with the team. It's not I. Everybody's in this together, and they all love him. When you can get behind one quarterback, look, the team will run well. They need an offensive line, and they need to do something about the defensive line next year. Watch, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Well, GPD, thank you so much, man, and happy holidays. Yeah. You said this a few weeks ago. I didn't know if it would come to fruition. We still don't. The number one reason you should be optimistic about the 49ers next year, they're going to have a fourth-place schedule.
Hopefully, if they do it right the last couple of weeks.
At worst, they'll have a third-place schedule.
Yep.
And that is going to change everything. There will be no Super Bowl hangover. You hope for better luck with health. And they will have a third or fourth place schedule. And I would put a lot of money that the 49ers go into the playoffs next year.
Well, and also, you would hope that the schedule maker doesn't screw them over like they did this year with rest differential. They had a negative 22 rest differential. They had 22 fewer days of rest than their opponents throughout the course of the year, which is the most in 20 years in the National Football League. You had five primetime games, you had a terrible rest differential, and you went up against a rugged slate of teams. And I'm just looking at their games next year. As I mentioned before, you have the AFC South and the NFC South, which neither of those divisions historically is very
good.
There's
nobody terrifying in those divisions.
So you're getting Tennessee, no quarterback, Jacksonville,
come on,
Carolina, you got to be kidding me, and New Orleans, who has no real quarterback as of now. Those are four of your opponents, and your crossovers next year. The fourth place team in the NFC North, Chicago Bears.
Yep.
The fourth place team in the NFC East, Dables.
The New York Giants.
And then the fourth place team in the AFC North, which is probably the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. And oh, by the way, you play in the putrid NFC West.
Correct.
So six of your games, you just said, like, that's practically the entire schedule.
Right.
There's nobody good on it.
I mean,
there's not one really hard team. I mean, maybe
you go to Houston.
They'll play Houston.
But
that's not like, I don't consider that. That's not like going to Baltimore. That's not like going to Buffalo.
Right.
It's not like going to Detroit. They're good. I'm not saying the Niners go 17-0, but if that's their schedule next year, good Lord.
You go to New York Giants as it sits now. You go to the Cleveland Browns. You go to Tampa. Those are your, so you do have a little bit more travel.
Okay.
You go to New Orleans and you go to Indy and to Houston and then your usual slate of NFC West.
Oh, join us at 4:45, by the way.
I can't wait. Just looking at the teams and teams are allowed to get better. And Atlanta, boy, they sure looked better yesterday with the left-hander, Michael Penix Jr.
He looked good. He looked good. Now, he is playing half of an NFL team known as the Giants, but yep. he looked very, very good. I am like, this year's draft class, maybe. I don't know how everybody feels about Caleb right now. It's a little touch and go back and forth.
I know how I feel.
Jaden reestablished himself big time yesterday. That's kind of, to me, that was the last brick on the wall that I needed to see, which was because he played through injury earlier this year. Things are getting a little wobbly. To start doing the come from behind against a high quality opponent, I know Jalen Hurts.
That game was fun.
It was so much fun, unless you had Jalen Hurts on
did
your fantasy
team.
Did
he get concussed? Is that what happened?
He sure did. He sure did, and he tried to come back. He put his helmet back on, and then they like, no, go to the locker room.
Because I'm following your matchup in fantasy against Lucas, because I'm out of it. And, you know, throughout the day, whatever, you pull your phone out, and I'm looking, and I saw Jalen Hurts had 4.7 or whatever, and I couldn't see if it was a Q or an O next to him.
It was a Q.
And by the time I saw it, it was an O.
Yeah.
And I thought, ah, this poor sap, he's got no chance. And I checked back in, and you kept hanging around.
I had all the other guys kind of do the darn thing, but it's probably still not going to be enough. But that's okay. But anyway,
Jaden Daniels.
The Eagles' defense is still the Eagles' defense, and Jaden went up and down the field and looked fantastic and had 5 touchdown throws. That's a dude. Now, Penix, we've watched play one game.
Yep.
But
Bo Nix looks good.
Bo Nix, yep. Yes. Like, I mean, it looks really encouraging as opposed to, you know, some of the other years, like the 49ers and the Trey Lance year, where I thought that quarterback group got more buzz, and they are way worse.
Yeah.
Like, there might have been none. I don't know if Trevor Lawrence is a guy.
Yeah.
Jury is very out, and he's the only one who has a shot. To be a guy. The rest of them, we've made up our mind.
And that, though, becomes the cautionary tale for many fans about Niners because he was number one overall. He looked great. Brock Purdy was not number one overall, and he looked great. And Jacksonville just, we're going to pay this guy. And they did. And since they paid him, he hasn't been very good.
No.
And so that is where Niner fans, I'm sure, are holding their collective breath. Of giving a guy $55 million and having him not get back to where he was, you know?
I'm sitting here. If you look around the league, I understand where a lot of you are coming from, where there's guys getting paid and you're like, ugh, I don't know if that guy's worth it. Yeah, you might be right, but it can also still be the right thing to do. Very much so. Like, that's the market, and if you do want to say, I am only paying the Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes, the Burrows, the Lamars. If you want to put in Herbert, I'm only paying those guys. Well, fine. Then no one's getting extended. That's it. No one's getting extended. The Lions were looking for a QB this year, even though they were the favorites, right? He's not getting extended. The Arizona Cardinals stink. Kyler got extended. This is all over the league. You mentioned Trevor Lawrence. It's everywhere. Tua. Larry in Roseville next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Larry. Thank you for calling.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. You guys are killing it today, man. I thank you so much. Hey, look, my question is, so we paid Ayuk this $30 million deal, and he didn't look that good beforehand, but now we're going to pay Brock Purdy $60, and I love Brock Purdy. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a really good quarterback. I think it's been a real unfortunate year for a lot of us. I'm 53 years old, man. I've been doing this a long time. I don't want to go through another 4 or 5 years of the Tom Sula type era. So my question to you guys, I'll take off air, is if we pay this man $60 million, are we going to have any money to keep Hawk or Greenlaw?
Larry, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. And you're going to get the answer on the air, whether you like it or not.
Go ahead. Give it to him.
You can still pay them.
Of course.
And they have the most cap room in the National Football League. And if you pay him 60, let's just pretend you're going to give him 60 a year. It's not really 60. It's not fully guaranteed. And you're going to make it so he gets a big old signing bonus. The Niners have a lot of cash. And so you shovel him cash. And that number gets prorated throughout the life of the deal. And you structure it to where after 2 or 3 years, if it's not going great, you can get out from under it. So even if it's $5 and $300 million, he's not going to ever recoup $300 million over 5 years.
This can very easily, to me, call it a 4-year extension worth $220 million, but the guarantee is about The guarantee is about 120. You can get out of it after 2 years if something's going really haywire. And then the structure of it and how much is going to him each year and what other space you have created. See, this stuff gets boring, convoluted, and right, none of us are experts on it. But if you do that, yes, you still have flexibility and maneuverability for other players. The 49ers are not going to sign a contract where they're like, well, that's the end of that. I guess we don't get any other players. They're not going to do that.
Bad teams do.
The Cowboys did.
Arizona did it. The Cowboys did it.
Or at least
Cleveland did it.
Or they're, well, Cleveland guaranteed the life of it.
Right.
Which is what you can't do.
Which
Dallas,
is lunacy.
Dallas is claiming that they don't have any other money. I don't buy it. And if you structured it that way, that was dumb. But Dallas's run game is all you need to know. That's all you need to know about that team. They paid Dak, they paid CeeDee, they cannot get 2 yards. They can't get 2 yards.
And now Dak's not playing, and what's that good for? The contract you just described is already out there, and it's actually a really good contract. It's Jordan Love. 4 years, $220 million. The signing bonus is $75 million, which they prorated over 5 years. And the guaranteed at signing is a clean $100 million.
There you go.
And if you look at the contract, after 3 years, there's an out. In year four, the cap hit is $42 million. In year five, the cap hit is $74 million. The Green Bay Packers in 2028 are not going to pay Jordan Love $74 million to be quarterback.
Might.
The base salary is $44
million. I know, but if somebody is already making 60 this year, 5 years from now, you may love Jordan Love.
Yes, pun intended.
No, I mean, he looks good.
Right, but if you do love him at that point, when you get to that juncture of the contract, you tear up the last 2 years, and then you start it over doing what you have already done.
Maybe, probably. I'm just saying that $74 million 5 years from now might not sound that crazy.
No, you're right. If he's the MVP.
That's what Steph Curry is going to make at age 37 or something like that.
Yeah,
he's going to make north
60
of 60.
Plus, yeah.
So
the cap hit would be 74.2 for Love, but the point is, this is what you do. You give him $100 million that's guaranteed no matter what. It's 55 average annual, fine, but this year, for example, the cap hit for Jordan Love, $20.7 million. Manageable.
Totally, totally. Leroy in Oakland. Hi, Leroy. Thank you for calling.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, lifelong 49er fan here.
Right on, man.
And, yeah, I'm 54 years old, so I've been watching for a while, and you know, I want to ask you guys a question. Do you think Kyle Shanahan's a good quarterback, a good coach or a great coach? I think he's a pretty good coach, borderline great coach. I think we have good to great coaches and players on our team. To me, the problem has been, I've always said, you never know how good a Kyle Shanahan player is going to be, because he's never going to give them too much. And what I mean is, I think Purdy will always be around 28 attempts. I think Kittle will always be around 4 or 5 targets. You know, I think Ayuk will always be around maybe 5 or 6 targets. Like, he'll never milk anything when it gets hot, because he likes to spread stuff around and spread it out. And I always just chalk it up as, we'll never know how good guys can fully be. And it just frustrates me, because I'm like, I don't know
what I want to do because of that, if that makes sense, guys.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, Leroy, thanks so much. I just think that's an offensive philosophy, not so much like I want to spread it around. It's just a byproduct of the way that the 49ers play offense. They do run the ball a lot. So I don't think that's no much about the individuals, and I don't think it means just because their stats may not pop off your fantasy page that that means we can't find out how good they can be. We have absolutely found out how good George Kittle can be.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
I thought he was the best tight end in the league for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
So
it's not about numbers. It's about efficiency. And when this offense is at its absolute best, look at last year. The targets were spread evenly. McCaffrey had, what, 20 touchdowns last year?
Yeah, he was
McCaffrey,
the best.
Debo, and Kittle last year were unbelievable contributors to the offense. And this year, it's only been Kittle.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. 888-957-9570. Forget the numbers. Do you want to sign up for Brock? And if not, then what? We'll keep chatting about this. Also, think it's important coming up next for you to hear what George Kittle said after the game, because it's relevant for what the Niners do next. So that's all coming up on Willard and Dibbs.
My mindset is it doesn't matter who's out there. We have what it takes to win and move the chains and put up points and give our team a chance to win. That's my mindset. And so that's where I'm hard on myself is, you know, we've had some guys that have been banged up and all that, and we haven't been able to get it done. You know, I'm just hard on myself when it comes to that, and it hurts. But that's the NFL, man, and I know that I'm capable of pulling through and winning these kind of games, regardless of who's out there. It's just, you know, in the moment, man, I got to just be better and take the beat that gives me and continue to build guys up as we go. So learning a lot, it hurts going through it kind of thing, but I still have all the faith in the world and what we can do moving forward, and we still have two games left to go showcase ourselves and who we are.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Two games left to showcase who they are, says Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's planning on playing both of those football games.
I would imagine it's ultimately not up to him, but if he wants to go out there and play, I would imagine they're going to give him the opportunity.
And also, here's George Kittle after the game yesterday. Listen to this.
Football is really difficult. When the ball doesn't bounce your way, when you have turnovers and you're not forcing turnovers, you have to play at a very elite level, you know, if that's what's going to happen during the game. And we have not been playing at that elite level. And we have to continue to strive to get better every single week. And while we are eliminated, we still have 2 weeks of football left. And, you know, if I have football in front of me, I'm going to play as hard as I possibly can. And I'm going to try to get the guys around me to do that same thing.
George Kittle and Brock Purdy, and I know they're players, and I know that they're supposed to say and supposed to feel a certain way and the way players are wired and all that. Call me campy, Dibs. I buy it. I really think that for those guys, for all of these guys, if we believe in the idea of team, there is value in that group, the highest levels of that group, going out there for these next 2 weeks and trying to find a better way to execute what it is they're trying to do. I just think there's value in that, and I totally get your point. And if instead of picking at 11, they pick at 14, I'm okay with it. I just am. I'm totally okay with it if this group, who is your core, gets something out of it going forward.
There is value in everything. And these two games don't only have to be about the value of Kittle and Purdy and Fred Warner and the rest of them. There's value in having other players who haven't played as much, or maybe a quarterback. You have Tanner Mordecai, who you may want to see what he can do. Forget Dobbs and Allen. You kind of know who they are as pros. But across the board, there are other players I do think that can get value by going out there and playing football. Now, Kittle and Fred Warner are interesting cases where Fred Warner doesn't miss games. I believe he's missed one game his whole career.
Right.
He's played the entire year on a fractured ankle. So he's going to play. I would dare any of the coaches to try to keep him off the field. He's like the reverse Devondre Campbell, where even if they told him that he's not allowed to play, he still would sneak his way out there. And I think that George Kittle is similar in that he's playing for, not that he's playing for individual records, but every time he goes out there and plays, he is climbing the list and climbing charts in a certain way. So, yeah, he wants to go out there and play because he's a football player and the rest of it. And the other piece of it is, through attrition and injury, you're already playing a lot of the younger guys, and I get that.
Exactly.
Your offensive line, you ended up with Zakel, and you know you had Moore playing for Trent, and he got hurt. Banks is going to be a free agent. He got hurt. So there's a lot of guys that you're already playing because you don't have a choice. So I get that. I'm hesitant to throw Brock Purdy out there for both of these games just so I can have him go out there and see what he can do in live action.
888-957-9570. We can get into that. We're also still talking out just the idea of, it's funny, I think Matt Hagan was the one who tweeted out last night, just close your eyes. Forget the money. Forget the money, which is really a great exercise because, quite frankly, the 55 and 60, we get all hung up on it, and it's funny money, and it's fake, and it's not exactly what's going to determine anything for the roster going forward, like it will if the Niners sign a bad contract. Don't think they will. But what he said was just close your eyes and ask yourself if you want Brock Purdy as your quarterback.
Right.
So do that. Do you? But I'm trying to push that conversation further, which is, if your answer's no, then what? Like, is there a realistic backup plan B for the 49ers at quarterback for those of you who don't think that an extension for Brock is the right thing to do? I don't think there is. I don't think there's a realistic, sensible thing to do that still keeps you as a viable team next year at all.
It depends on what you look at.
I'm open to hearing what everyone has to say.
And you can think that it's Josh Dobbs or Brandon Allen, and you can think that that would be as good or a lateral move from Brock Purdy. I disagree. You can say Sam Darnold, but he may or may not actually be free at the end of this year. You can talk about trading for Kirk Cousins, and you could say that Kyle's always been covetous of Kirk Cousins. I don't think that that's the answer unless he suddenly gets younger and healthier in the offseason.
He's awful.
And if you want to look at the other free agents that are out there, pull up the list in your free time and make sure you have a barf bag near you because none of them are any good. And you can also say, well, we'll just go in the draft and we're going to make it right this time. We're going to trade up. We're going to get Shedeur Sanders.
No, you're not.
Well,
no,
you're not. Trade up and get Shedeur.
No, you can't. The New York Giants aren't giving that pick for anything. Well, they won't give you that pick for anything.
Even if you want to dream that dream, you know, you send them Nick Bosa and two firsts, I don't think that that's the answer either. So you can come up with what you think is a solution. And personally, I don't think any of those options are as good as what you already have.
Let's go to Dre in Lemoore. Hey, Dre, thank you for the call, man. What's going on?
Not much. Just still disappointed about yesterday's game. Hey guys, first I wanted to wish you both a Merry Christmas and everybody there at the station.
Thank you so much, Dre. And to you as well.
Okay. Hey, you know, I've always been a big Purdy supporter, and you know, I say we pay him whatever the market value is. Hopefully, it's not a break the bank type thing. Like you guys are saying, it's funny money. But I really have lost some confidence in the guy over the last several weeks, the ball, Brock. And I'm thinking of...
Dre, thanks very much for that. Can we just, the last throw to you, that's fully on Brock or not?
Well, it's not ever fully on anyone.
I mean, he got hit as he's throwing the football.
Right. Don't throw it. Check it down. If you look at... And I understand Greg Cosell broke down what happens in a play, and the check down is the last option. But when you look at Brock and he drops back and he's got pressure from his right, and then Calais Campbell comes right up the middle, you've got Kittle open underneath, you got Patrick Taylor about 5 yards running across. You can check it down. You don't have to, knowing that the heat is on, take a risk that didn't need to be made that point.
You can get hit on a check down, too. Like another, you know what I mean? Like,
but
I don't think that prevents
intercepted.
I don't know.
There's nobody
ball
around.
Ball can go flying straight up in the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was looking at the play again, and, you know, it's not as easy as, oh, here's pressure. Check it down. But
right.
I'm seeing Brock too often hold it and try to put the cape on. You're talking about putting the cape on. This is a throw where if there's 14 seconds left in the game, fine. You're at the 2-minute warning, and you've got timeouts, and you're at the 47-yard line. You didn't need to make that risk of a throw.
No, but if he saw it, like I do, I would like a quarterback, if you see it, like do it. Go for it. You know what I mean? I think that's akin to you saying, hey, Kyle Shanahan, it's fourth and inches on the opening drive and you're at your own 40. Why don't you grab one? Why don't you grab some guts?
Yep.
So same thing here, man. And again, this isn't to pass off anything that Brock ever does. Anyone with eyes knows he hasn't been as good this year. He's said it. He's admitted it. But if we're going to talk about the problems on offense, my God, it's very obvious to my eyes. It's the offensive line. It doesn't mean that everyone else is excused. Ayuk took everybody on a bad journey this year. Debo has been a wild disappointment. Brock has been a much lesser version of himself. Kyle Shanahan has had a bad year. I can admit all of those things and then say this part. The offensive line is the freaking biggest problem. And to me, it's not even close.
Well, and this from the Shanahan press conference today, and thank you, Lucas, for sharing this. Aaron.
95-7 the game. Breaking news.
I'm not used to being the guy.
Fire away. Do it.
Aaron Banks and Jalen Moore out for the next two games. Additionally, Trent Williams' season is done. He's out with the ankle.
Yep.
So your offensive line that couldn't protect Brock last night, yesterday afternoon, late in that game, is going to be that same patchwork group, and you just want to throw Brock out there behind a bunch of twos and threes?
I understand your concern.
This cements my point for me even more.
Well, it's funny because to me it cements the point that you were trying to make in the preseason.
A different, completely different situation.
And you can argue that, but my concern was exactly what your concern is now, which is that putting Brock Purdy out there in front of bus drivers and grocery store clerks is a little scary in games that don't count. Now, we can both do turnabout as fair play because these games don't count, at least not for the Niners. They do for the people playing them. The last one doesn't. I'd be more open to listening on that one than I am on this one. But again, to me, live action football, and also circumstantially because it's been a bad year, I'd love to see these guys continue to play together and see if they can figure some things out. I hear your point.
Yep.
Playing
in the preseason is much more of a preparatory situation for the regular year, and it's risky. Anytime you play football, it's risky, but I'd rather play Brock Purdy with twos and threes in the preseason so he can at least get his feet under him and get some comfort heading into the year, as opposed to week 17, you're playing for nothing, and you're going to have, looks like, McKivitz and Pooney and Brendel and Zakel and maybe Austin Pleasance?
Somebody who's a big person will be there.
With a number north of 50 and south of 79.
And I will share your, I think, warranted concern.
Yeah.
And I will take the chance. Yes.
Yes, yeah.
I will.
I mean, I don't have the choice, but if I did, I wouldn't take the chance because
I get it.
If you like Brock Purdy and you're going to